Thank you for watching this sermon recorded at Holy Innocents Episcopal Church during one of our principal services. The sermon is based on the lectionary readings for this Sunday. To stay connected to Holy Innocents, friend us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, or check out our website. Thanks for listening, and stay connected.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I think there are about 5 story plots in the entire world, and so everything is either a remake or a cover of those 5. And that Scripture is the source of all stories. Let's face it, the Bible was the first major book in the West using movable type. It kicked off the Gutenberg Revolution, and I posit it was the beginning of every book and every Hollywood screenplay that followed, original or not. I asked my spiritual director what her thoughts were about the Bible. I was really interested in her assessment because I felt it would be important to how she and I would relate to one another. And it wasn't just that I didn't want to talk, which I sometimes didn't want to talk. Those early days of spiritual direction weren't easy. She answered that she thought that the Bible was a library chock full of books that could appeal to anyone. She said that this library was filled with fiction and nonfiction, including drama, comedy, romance, mystery, fantasy, murder, war, and adventure, among other stories. And that woven through these stories are fables of morality and immorality as well. And the morality plays are in the context of human relationships and how we treat one another. Many children's books are didactic, thus they're intended for teaching, especially with moral instruction being the ulterior motive. Every time I hear this gospel with Jesus being driven out into the wilderness by the Spirit for 40 days, tempted by Satan, surrounded by wild beasts, and waited on by angels, I think of one of my favorite books. I also think of my life as a Christian. I've been baptized, and clearly I've been ordained. But we live in a world that hypnotizes us, lures us, entices us. And being no Jesus, I easily fall into a trance at times. So back to my favorite book. I have to admit it's probably because it has a lot of pictures, more pictures than words. Maybe you remember Maurice Sendak's Where the Wild Things Are. It was a book published in 1963 and made into a movie in 2009 by Spike Jones. The story is about Max, who wore a wolf suit and made mischief. He made so much mischief that his mother sent him to bed without supper. And so that night, a forest grew in Max's bedroom. The walls became the world, and an ocean tumbled by with a boat that carried Max to where the wild things are. And when he came to the place where the wild things are, they roared their terrible roars and gnashed their terrible teeth and rolled their terrible eyes and showed their terrible claws till Max said, "Be still," and tamed them with the magic trick of staring into all their yellow eyes without blinking once. And they were frightened and called him the most wild thing of all and made him king of all wild things. Joseph Campbell, comparative mythologist, said, "That is a great moment because it's only when a man tames his own demons that he becomes the king of himself, if not the world." In the story, Max continues to be wild as king of the wild things, and maybe king of himself, but only himself. As he continues to exert his kingly control over his subjects, he continues to be wild, separated from those who love him most, provide his foundation, not to mention his food. Have you ever felt consumed by those things over which you have dominion or think you have dominion? Believing that we control absolutely everything is really an illusion. And that illusion creates a real sense of feeling that we are being consumed by those very things that we believe we control. Perhaps that should make it a little easier for us to cede control to the one who loves us without limit. But for some reason, it doesn't. I know personally that it can make me push even harder because I can do it. Trying to exert more and more control over those things that just exceed my grasp. Now stop, Max said, and sent the wild things off to bed without their supper. I won't debate Joseph Campbell here because even dead, he's likely to win the argument. But I believe that this is the point where Max truly finds himself. It is here that Max truly tamed his own demons, because here it is paired with the knowledge that there was a greater, loving power that would accept and cradle him, and that Max and his own demons were no match for that love. And Max, the king of all wild things, was lonely and wanted to be where someone loved him best of all. Then all around, from far away across the world, he smelled good things to eat. So he gave up being king of where the wild things are. But the wild things, they made one last run at him. In fact, at one point, the wild things say that they love him so much that they want to eat him. Oh, please, don't go. We'll eat you up. We love you so. And Max said, no. It took a lot of courage and presence of self to say no, especially since Max originally thought that the wild life would feed him and, in fact, sought it out, turning his back on his mother and the safety of her home and her arms. But it appears that Max learned that there was something better than the exciting life he had constructed for himself, swinging through trees, howling at the moon, running through the forest, in general engaging in a wild rumpus, as Max calls it. If you look at Maurice Sendak's remarkable drawings in this book, the rumpus takes place at night or near night. It isn't until the sun comes up in the next morning that Max realizes that there perhaps is more to life than a wild rumpus, knowing that he must return home. So the wild things roared their terrible roars and gnashed their terrible teeth and rolled their terrible eyes and showed their terrible claws, but Max stepped into his private boat and waved goodbye. In the Bible, water is both life-giving and life-ending. In today's gospel, we are introduced to the waters of baptism. In baptism, we are united to Christ in death and in resurrection. In the story of Noah, the water essentially reverts to the chaos before God's time with creation, destroying all in its path. But God provides Noah the means to make a vessel to carry him safely and to safety. In the story of Moses, the child, a holy innocent sentenced to death, is put into the water in a basket of pitch and reeds. And he as well finds his way to life. In Max's story, the waters take him to the world where the wild things will eat him, even though he thinks he's the king. Yet may take him back home again if he steers the right path. Max sailed over a year and in and out of weeks and through a day and into the night of his very own room where he found his supper waiting for him, and it was still hot. I love the campaign that the Roman Catholic Church has for Christmas. At least in Washington, D.C., there are signs all over the metro stations and in the trains. Come home for Christmas is what these signs say. And they list all of the churches in the Roman Catholic Archdiocese. God does give us the means to protect ourselves from, well, ourselves. But we are recidivists, making the same mistakes again and again. It's being human. I often make the same mistakes on a regular basis, like clockwork. But God allows us to redeem ourselves again and again and again, like clockwork. Lent is a time during which we can find our way back home to where we belong. There are so many ways in which we can do this. Off the top of my head and embedded in my heart at this point are three ways I can think of: by praying, loving, and serving. These, like the Trinity, are inextricably bound in our lives of faith. And if you find that you need some help, look around. Really, look around. I guarantee you, there are angels in our midst. It's probably pretty likely that you're sitting next to one or more. Return from the wilderness. Come home for Easter. Through this holy season of Lent, we will find God's version of a hot supper waiting for us. Believe in the good news. Amen.